Thank you for joining us for our sermon podcast. Emmanuel United Methodist Church is located at 1351 Main Street in Welford, South Carolina. Our mission at Emmanuel states, by God's grace and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we pursue Christ to become and make disciples for the transformation of the world. Our hope is that this message will help you as you grow in God's grace, trust in the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and to pursue Christ with all you have. Now sit back and listen for what the Lord may be saying to you as Pastor Andrew delivers today's message. Thank you.
So we've been doing this series, Choices, and it got kind of difficult this week to figure out how to word them because I wanted to look at what it means to be a community of faith. And then some of the ladies that are smarter than me said, well, you should do together versus alone. So that's why it's there. So today we're looking at making the choice to either do life together or to do life alone. The first week we looked at faith over fear, and we saw Daniel and those lions were ready to tear him apart, but God didn't let it happen. And then we saw last week that Abraham was told to go sacrifice his son Isaac, and he said, we're going to go over there and worship, and we will return to you. So last week we looked at worship over worry. Then I told you, when you left, I told you, you're going to have something to worry about this week. How many of you have something to worry about this week? Okay, almost everybody. And so I hope you made the choice to stop in that moment and just worship God for who He is. And then maybe, just maybe, you had that peace that we talked about. So today we're going to stay in the Old Testament. We're going to be in the book of Ecclesiastes as we look at some of the wisdom literature. That's on page 538 in the Emmanuel Bibles. If you're in your own Bible, Ecclesiastes chapter 4. And if you're on the YouVersion app in our live event, it is there for you. So let's hear the reading of the Word of God today. Chapter 4, verse 9. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up the other. But woe to the one who is alone and falls and does not have another to help. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though one might prevail against another, two will withstand one. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. This is the word of God for you, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Father God, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every heart be acceptable to you, our Lord, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. Let's play a little game. I'm going to say a word and you tell me what goes with it. Peanut butter and jelly. Cake and ice cream. Macaroni and cheese. Now, you know you're in the South when we can get that one right. Here we go. Lone Ranger and Tonto. Now the young people are like, what? Now this, Laurel and young people still didn't say a word. I had to Google that one myself. Apparently they were comedians. Batman and Robin. Now the whole church participated. Snoopy and Charlie Brown. Red Bear. And now for some of our younger parents, Buzz Lightyear and Woody. Ryder and the Paw Patrol. We could go on forever and ever, and I know some of you are saying, that's a lot of fun, but that doesn't have anything to do with the choices we make. But all it, of course it does, right? All of those things, they go better together for the most part. And sadly, I think we know that. I think we have an understanding that being in relationship with others, that doing life together is generally good. I think most of us would even agree that we are more likely to grow in our faith together than we are alone. But even with that knowledge, the majority of the time we choose to go at it alone. And so I want us to take a look at our scripture today. Because life's not designed to go at it alone. And so we see that we can actually accomplish more together. It said two can achieve more than one. And most of the time we would agree that's true, right? Two people can do more work than one. Not always better work, but sometimes more work. And so this year at Emmanuel, we've been focusing and growing in our faith, because that's what we feel like we're called to do if we're going to live out our mission statement, to become and make disciples. And so we've looked at growing individually, we've looked at growing in community, and then we've looked at growing in service first to God, in service to your church, Emmanuel, but in service to others as Christ has called us to as well. You may be thinking, but there's an individual aspect to that, and there is, because there's a choice that we all have to make. But even our individual faith grows more when we're together. It does. It's just, there's no way around it. I was reminded today of the story of Seabiscuit, the famous racehorse. And Seabiscuit, towards the end of his career, at least how the movie presents it, he's fallen towards the back of the last race. And he's got so much more inside of him, and they can't get it. And they just think, well, this is how it's going to end. And then one of the rider's friends actually slows down. And those two horses get eye to eye. And they start hearing each other grunt. And something triggers in Seabiscuit, and he's gone. And then he weaves through the field and eventually wins the race. Sometimes we just need to see other people going through life with us. And then something in us can spark. Competition always breeds excellence. It just does. Competition is a good thing. Because if you're, not that we're competing in our faith, but if I know that I'll use Anna, because if she gets mad, it won't matter. But if I know that she's reading her Bible faithfully, and she's completing the New Testament in 30 days, and I want to give up, she's going to know that I gave up, because I've given her permission to look at my stuff and see. And so it carries me on to keep going. But it's also easier for us to make that transition into living life and community together when we do it with one other person or two other people at the time. We can't just jump in and make it all happen. Have you ever signed up for a gym membership? You ever just let them take your money and not gone for multiple months at a time? And the same could be said about growing in service. It's a lot easier for me to go over to Welford Academy and serve those kids if I know Michelle's going to be there, if I know Miss Ann's going to be there, because it gives me a sense of comfort and a sense of familiarity with what's going on. We don't have to be rocket scientists to figure out that life is really meant to be done together, and that our faith would be better if we didn't go at it alone. The encouragement, the fun, the love that we share during those times, it actually creates deeper relationships. On top of all that, no matter how much I believe that this is one of the two keys to awakening in the local church, it's scriptural. So even if you disagree with me, as in Genesis chapter 1, it says, God looked and said, let us make mankind in plural, our image. So we see the Trinity at the very beginning of all creation. God was in community, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But then we see in Genesis chapter 2 that said, then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man should be alone. I will make him a helper. I will make his partner. It wasn't good for him to be alone. Even though he was in relationship with God, it was not enough. Jesus lived his life this way. Think about it. We say that Jesus had 12 disciples, but he had thousands of people following him. There were all these crowds. He had all these people, but then he had a group of 12 he did life with. And then on top of that, he had three that he trusted to go up on the mountain with him, to go into the garden with him. Their relationships grew, and they were strengthened, because when Christ was gone, we can read about all the miracles they then did. It's also a part of our Methodist heritage. John Wesley took a bunch of Anglicans and a bunch of outsiders who weren't good enough to be in the church, and he formed them into these societies, kind of like if we said Spartanburg County was a big society of believers. And then he broke them up into classes, and they would meet in smaller groups weekly. And then on top of that, he said, even if you want to go deeper than that, put yourselves in a band of 3 to 5 people of the same maturity level, of the same gender. And then use that time to repent, to confess, to encourage, to pray for. And that's where salvations happened. They didn't happen in church services. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens an iron, so one person sharpens another. Doing life together is really just as important as the air and the sunshine and everything else to our spiritual life. The benefits in our scripture say that if one will fall, the other will lift them up. But here's the problem, and this breaks my heart, and it should break yours. We are too stubborn and too proud to be vulnerable in our faith with people. We would rather fall down in the mud by ourselves and have no one to lift us up. Because we're afraid if we tell somebody something about our lives, all they're going to do is judge us. Like they don't have problems too. Every single one of us in here has got problems. Do y'all know that? Some of them are bigger than others. But if I trust somebody, but that's just what it is. We're willing to let our marriages fall apart. We're willing to let people walk away from the church. We're willing to do all these things because it's vulnerable. And we're too afraid of that vulnerability. It also says that they can lie together and keep each other warm. I couldn't help but think of Forrest and Bubba. You lean up against me and I'll lean up against you, and we don't have to sleep with our heads in the mud. But we'd rather sleep with our heads in the mud because we don't want to ask somebody to love us, to watch over us. And it also says that two can better defend each other. And then it finishes, a threefold cord is not quickly broken. One strand of that cord is you. One strand of that cord is our Almighty God. But the other strand of that cord is intended to be other believers. Apparently, some of you are watching the Super Bowl tonight. But I want you to think, what if Tom Brady ran out there by himself to play the game today? Not going to go, as good as he is, it's not going to work. Think about if the greatest army of all time sent their one leader out in battle. They're going to lose. And we would think they were foolish for trying to do it alone. When we go out in this dark, evil world, are we going at it alone? Or are we inviting other people to go with us? The actual origin of communion is community, together, in union. And every time when the early church would get together and do it, they would break bread over a table for a meal. And the reality is that, man, we can have the best programs, the best research. We could have the best music and the greatest sermons ever heard. But if you're still trying to go through your faith journey alone, from the time you leave to the time you come back, you're not going to grow. It's just reality. So at some point, you have to choose to either do life together with other Christians or to go at it alone. I've done both at different points in my life, and when I've done life together with other people, my faith has started producing fruit. And that's what we want, right? people started wanting a little bit of what I had. But sadly, as I've gone into pastoral ministry of all things, I've tried to do my faith by myself. And see if this sounds like your faith journey. It can feel hopeless. It can feel empty. It can make you wonder if it's even worth it. You ever experienced any of that? You wouldn't have if you'd had somebody you trusted to pick you up. You see, sometimes it's just this simple. We have something we need to pray about, but we don't know how to pray it. But what if you allowed a brother and sister in Christ to wrap their arms around you and pray for you? It might just be that God's trying to use the person sitting beside you or the person sitting across from you or the person that you sit in Sunday school with to be the blessing that you're praying for. But we're just too afraid to ask for it. My prayer is that very soon and very soon, it was an old church song, wasn't it? That we will be full of small groups at this church. We're not there yet. But I had the privilege today of sitting with the adult Sunday school class for just about 15 minutes. Their lives are enriched because they're together. I saw that in 15 minutes. They knew joys about each other. They knew concerns about each other. They were praying for each other during the week. They were celebrating when good things happened. They were crying when bad things happened. They knew what was going on in each other's lives. Now, could they take it a couple steps further? Maybe. I was just there for 15 minutes. But it's the closest thing to the church of Acts that we've got going on right now. And it's a lot easier to say, well, it's not worth my time. I don't like to get up early. You get to work on time. You've never missed a kickoff, I promise you that. I've missed one, and it was because a little boy wanted to stay at the fair. He about got adopted that day. Because I was ready to leave him with the first police officer. But I just think that our church would be better, our marriages would be better, raising our children would be better, our discipleship would be better if we went at life together. So as we prepare to come to the table, I want you to think about that. We're going to have communion set up just like we always do. I'm going to put a couple people on the spot. And if you need prayer for something and you don't want to pray about it by yourself, they're willing to pray with you. They've been trained. Maybe you just need to pray by yourself. That's fine. But hopefully soon our lives will be so connected that nothing will be able to separate us. Amen. Amen.